Good morning. I want to know what kind of spiritist you are this morning. How does spirits? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because the question that asks us, what do we know about the spiritual world around us? Take your Bibles. I want you to turn, first of all, not to our passage, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Because you see something very important here that applies directly to what we're talking about this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, we look at the world around us, and what do we see? We see all kinds of things happening. We see, I looked up yesterday because unfortunately we had another incident in Omaha, a shooting. And so I wanted to find out how many shootings have there been in Omaha this last year? As I watched the news, sadly, it reminds me of when we lived in Detroit area, where you watch the news not to find out if someone was shot, but who was shot. Omaha, unfortunately, it seems to me, I don't know, but it seems to me at least, to be growing more and more that way. What's going on behind those minds and those hearts that are causing that? We live in a world with politics. And in the decisions that are made, why are they making those decisions? Some very good, some very bad. What kinds of things are behind the bad politics? Maybe you look at even the people in your own neighborhood or in your own workplace. And you're looking there and you're saying, how in the world do they come up with the different activities and devices that they do? Maybe you're watching TV. I really have a very difficult time watching preachers on television. By far, the most part, a lot of the things that come out of their mouths, I think to myself, where in the world are they getting that from? It's not here in the text. In fact, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Kind of preaching that says, God wants you to be blessed. And so if you send in this much money, He will pay off all your debt. God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to be successful and climb up the ladder. God never wants you to hurt. And so if you trust Him, He will bring complete healing to your body. Some of the things they say sound good. Some of the things they say sound inviting. Some of the things they say sound very biblical. They may even use the Bible to describe and define it. But in the end, what they're saying is not right. How do you know? And where are they coming up with these ideas? We look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and we read this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The problem that you see, it goes beyond the human person that you see there. It goes beyond the coworker. It goes beyond the televangelist. Not everybody on TV that's preacher is bad. It goes beyond the politician. It goes beyond the rulers of the world. It goes beyond the different ideas. And what does it come down to? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What you find here is that the heart of the issue goes beyond the man's own heart. It goes to the spiritual effect that has upon them. Some people knowingly dabbling in the spirit realm. Some people ignorantly being influenced by demons. How do you know the difference? It's out there. We look at Jesus' time and we see over and over again the demonic, he's casting people out of demons. And you see demons coming before him, confessing him as the Christ. Not to their salvation, but acknowledging who he is. And you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a great amount of demonic activity. Do you think it's less now than it was then? It's not. We do not edge up to the Pentecostal, the charismatic movement where we're casting out demons out of everyone for every reason. But we do recognize there are spiritual forces out there. There may be spiritual forces in here that's working on your heart to try to distract you from God's word. They bring to your mind, what time is it? They bring to your mind, did somebody just text or call? They bring to your mind, oh yeah, tomorrow when I get to work, I have to do this. They bring to your mind, oh, that's right. Today for lunch, we're having pork roast, I think. When you find yourself distracted from God's word, it may very well be demonic forces working on you. Don't dismiss that possibility. Turn to 1 John. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're actually going to the very end of chapter 3, end of 4. And I want you to see that John writes here about discerning the spirit world. In John 3, verse 24, we read, "Now he who keeps his commandments," that is, the believer who keeps God's commandments, "abides in Christ, and Christ in him. And by this we know that Christ abides or dwells or has his home in us by the Spirit whom he has given." All throughout the book of 1 John, he's coming up to chapter 5, verse 13. "These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life." He says here, this is how you know you have eternal life. If you keep his commandments. Here, it says, you know that he abides in us. That is, the word he is Christ, abides in us by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom he, Christ, has given to us. We can know Christ dwells in us. God's abiding spirit assures us of Christ's presence. This is important. He's setting up for helping you discern the spirits. He says here that Christ abides in you. The word "in" is not unique here, but it is important. It's not that Christ abides with you. It is that Christ abides in you. Something interesting to notice when you look at the Bible, when you're reading it, the very words that are used are important. Understand that the specific words that are used are vital for understanding the passage. God didn't have them haphazardly write whatever. What's preserved, what we can look at and compare with all the Old and New Testament texts, manuscripts that we have, to come to the best of our ability to being word for word to the original. And we look and we see what these words say. Here it says that he abides in him. We abide in Christ. Christ abides in, here, the believer. So don't just come up with a concept in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, as Christ says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that he's your friend at your side. Here, 1 John, he is inside you. His spirit is in you. He himself, being God, has the ability to be enthroned in heaven and in you. As he is in you, it shows your belonging to God, and you see that his Holy Spirit assures you. His Holy Spirit assures you. It says, By this we know that he abides in us. This is how we know Christ lives in us. By the Spirit whom he has given. The Holy Spirit tells us that Christ is in us. How does that work? Well, back in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Understand that you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit, some people believe that just part of the Holy Spirit comes, and then part of him comes later. Maybe the Holy Spirit's got really big feet and his toes show up before the rest of his body. That's not what the Bible says. We have all that we need. All of the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. That's told to the Corinthians that are struggling as carnal Christians, many of them, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, telling us that when they receive Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit baptizes, puts them into the body of Christ. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is in them. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tells us we don't belong to Christ if the Holy Spirit doesn't live in us. The Holy Spirit permanently dwells in you. You receive his Holy Spirit at salvation. So now, this is where we're at. We know that Christ lives in us. Right? We know Christ lives in us. We know that because his Holy Spirit tells us. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, his Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. Gives us that assurance, that peace. When we are considering and hearing the gospel and convicted with our sin, we know we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that. And his Holy Spirit reassures us of that as well. This is vital because this is the Holy Spirit of truth. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. What he does is he looks beyond the person. You do that, aren't you? You are doing that right now. Wait, not right this second. You are watching the commercials on TV for the senators, the House of Representatives, and the presidency. And you are looking beyond the person's face. And you are considering what their background is. What kind of way do they live their personal life that you know of? What kind of way is their public life? What kind of decisions have they made? You are looking beyond the face, looking a little deeper into who they are, so you have a good idea of who you should vote for. You need to do that with the false prophets. You look at the people that are up there on TV or in the radio, or maybe you're visiting a church, or you go to some kind of a Christian event, and you're listening to them. Are they false prophets? He says here, test the spirits. You see, God's truthful Holy Spirit professes God's truth. How do you test these spirits? Well, we know that the teaching of the false teachers is falsehood. Is everything they say false? No, not everything they say is false. Some of the things they say is true. Pay careful attention. I can lie to you by just making a small adjustment. I came home from camp, from the retreat camp yesterday, and I was home at 7 o'clock. I just lied to you. You didn't know that. It was before 7 o'clock. You can even ask Brother Larry here. He'll tell you that. Well, no, he knows what time I dropped him off. He doesn't know what time I got home. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. All I had to do is adjust it just a little bit. I did come back from camp. In fact, I was back by 7 o'clock. But I didn't say that. I was back at 7 o'clock. I changed one word in that sentence, and you were lied to, and you didn't know it. That's all you have to do. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? He told the truth. When you eat of the fruit, you will be like God in that you will comprehend what good and evil is. Not just have a head knowledge of it, but, now this is not true of God, but you will have experienced what good and evil is. God does not experience evil. He does know evil. Serpent didn't lie, did he? He was correct. They would know the difference between good and evil. They said, you won't surely die. He flat out lied there. Oh no, when they took the bite, they didn't die right that second. But their bodies began to die. Your body was designed to live forever. But because of a slight adjustment in the truth, even to a flat out lie, guess what? You're all dying. Isn't that great news? You're all going to die. And because you're going to die, you're going to stand before God, accountable. When you stand before God, accountable to Him, where will you stand? I hope you're not thinking to yourself, I'm a pretty good person. I should be in good shape. We sin even in one point. We're guilty before God. And the punishment for guilt is eternity in hell forever. Well, these false teachers, what kinds of things are they teaching that's wrong? Look in verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, chapter 2, verse 8, which you have heard was coming into the world and now already is. He's saying not that the Antichrist yet to come is in the world, but that the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world, chapter 2, verse 8 and following. These are teaching wrong doctrine. Here he's battling with the fact that people are saying, well, Jesus is just a human and not God also. Or they are saying that God, Jesus came and he appeared as a human being, but he was not truly human. Both of those are heresies, and I hope you know why. If you don't, it's important that you understand why. We're not looking at that this morning. But if Jesus Christ came to this earth and did not become 100% man, guess what? He could not be the appropriate sacrifice for your sins. Because you can't kill God. Yet, if he was only human and not God, his death on the cross would have been merely for his own sins, and yet wouldn't be enough to cover his own sins, much less the sins of the rest of the world. He must be both God and human. It's a mystery of the scriptures, but clearly taught. Let me broaden this a little bit. The false teachers are teaching wrong doctrine and they are denying God's truth. This is the way it appears. This book contains God's word. Those are magic words that are used in order to express to you that I believe, not for real, that I believe among the words here you can discover God's word. God's truths. This is God's book. I'm acknowledging who the author is. One of the things that has happened throughout history is doctrine statements have to change to adjust with the heresies. One used to be able to say, I believe that this is the inspired and errant word of God. Now, you have to be more specific. Why? Because others believe it's inspired. They believe either as you read the words, it becomes inspired, or they believe it's inspiring to you, or they believe that portions of it are inspired, but other portions aren't. They believe that there's probably errors and contradictions in here. See, look here, look here, look here. When people do that, they undermine the authority of the scriptures. If I point out that there is one error, a true error, one real contradiction, if I point out a mistake, not in translation, not in misunderstanding, but one genuine error, this means this book is not perfect. And if I see that there's an error here, how do I know that other things are not error, but I just haven't discerned them yet? So you see that the doctrine of the Holy Scriptures is vital. If I am saying what's taught in here, there's errors in it, or doesn't really apply to today, when it does, I am teaching error. And that is how you're getting these false teachers to teach things that are false. And where do they get it from? They ultimately don't get it from their own manipulations. They get it from where? Here we find out it is from the spirits, the demons. They may on purpose, by reason of purpose do that, or ignorantly be manipulated by unholy beings. That being true, what about the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy Spirit? He's in you, right? If you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you're putting your faith in Him alone for your salvation, the Holy Spirit is in you. We found that out in chapter 3, verse 24. That Holy Spirit, it says in verse 2, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. It's not that you go before somebody, do you believe that Jesus came to earth and became a human? Oh, certainly. Well, you must be of God. He was writing it for his day and the issue that he was dealing with at the time, for there was the denial of that, as we mentioned. Generally speaking, if you broaden that out, when a person is consistent with God's word, you take your Bibles and you hold them in front of you here in church. And you read it for yourself. Why? Because you want to know what kind of nutcase is at the pulpit. You want to make sure that I am telling you what the Bible says. And I'm not just making it up on my own. I hope that's what you're doing. I hope you are testing the Spirit. The affirmation of God's Spirit is consistent, always consistent with God's Word. Whether it is word for word or it is the principles of God's Word, you see that what is being said is of God. We can pray and ask God to give us this discernment as we are listening to other people, as we are reading ourselves in God's Word, or reading a book by another Christian or so-called Christian, as the case may be, person, to discern whether or not they're speaking God's truth. I want you to understand that we don't wrestle against that flesh and blood, but against those spiritual beings. You need to understand that heavenly beings, spiritual beings, are much more powerful than you. You can see this when you see that Jesus, he approaches the person that's demon-possessed, and it comments in there that this man, they tried to bound him with great chains, but those demons gave him supernatural strength to break those chains. People were not stupid. They knew how to handle somebody. It wasn't they thought, oh, maybe we'll use these little twigs, that'll hold him. No, they knew better than that. They tried chains. They found him that he would had an obsession with being in the graveyard with death. These spiritual beings were also very knowledgeable for the old witchcraft, even practiced today. The old bringing up spirits and whatnot. The fortune telling, much of fortune telling is somebody making generalizations. But don't you think that demons have no ability to tell their plans and communicate those through who choose to channel them? It's a very real thing. I tell you this so that you understand that these deceiving spirits by these false teachers are very persuasive, they're smart, they're powerful, they're strong, and in and of yourself you have no ability against them. But, verse 6, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You look around at our world today and you say, I can't believe the gangs and the violence that we have to deal with. I can't believe the people that go through the neighborhoods and break into cars and steal the cars or the radios or break into homes. Or how is it that a parent can take and be violent towards their child or could misuse and abuse a child in some way? How is it that we can have these politicians that don't really care about the nation and make decisions based on what makes them look good? How can they not care about this or that? How can they be more concerned about these frivolous things? How is it that the world, as we look about, we go to the Middle East, and we see the riots and the hatred. How can that happen? Because of the demonic things that are happening in the world. And you may feel powerless against them. And you are, except you are little children and have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Those dangers, those difficulties, even the temptations of the world. You know how tempting some things are, don't you? Seriously, think good and hard at some of the temptations that you have to snap at somebody or to resist apple pie, homemade apple pie with a big serving of ice cream on top. That was really hard to resist yesterday. In fact, I almost made the bargain with myself that I should have a small piece of apple pie and some ice cream and then go run it off afterward. But I didn't do that. Do you know how hard it was? And not only that, I have one person over here eating it, right? And then I have one person over here eating it, one person over here eating it. And boy, but I was good. And I wasn't tempted to sin. It wasn't sin per se. But all I could think is, boy, that sure looks good. You know those kinds of temptations. Maybe the temptations to get angry and lose your temper, the temptations to take advantage of somebody, the temptations to break the rules because they're not real important anyway. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's how Paul could write that no temptation has taken you except that which is common to man. But he is faithful and will give you a way of escape. There's false teachers in the world. And they're worldly, their message is worldly in verse 5. They are of the world, and they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. The things that they tell you is how rich you can be, how successful you can be, how you can have this security, the comfort, the peace. They want to meet your basic emotional and physical desires. God's purpose and goal is not so much to meet those needs, but to meet your spiritual need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. He'll take care of those other needs. Are you seeking your first and primary need? Verse 6, we are of God who knows God hears us. He who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we know God. See, we know God. Those who know God will follow God. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Let me ask you today, do you belong to Jesus? Have you come to the point in your life where you recognize that you are a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ to forgive you for all your sins? If you have not, now, even right now, in your own heart before God, God, I understand my guiltiness before you. I know Jesus died for my sins and came back to life to pay that full penalty that I can never pay. And all you ask is that I put my trust in what He has done for me. Surrender myself, my own goals, my own desires, my own trying to achieve for what Christ has done for me. Forgive me, please save me. Oh, God's Holy Spirit lives in you, so that now greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And we can rely on His Holy Spirit to help us against the world and its temptations, against the world and its false teachers. So that way we, knowing God's Holy Spirit, allowing Him to lead us by looking at God's Word and being consistent with it, can hear the false teachers. They're tricky. You've got to pay close attention to what is said or what is not said. God's teachers are truthful. They share God's message. And if you are God's people, you follow them. The appeal is not that you follow me as God's messenger. The appeal is that you follow your Savior, Jesus Christ. He is your leader. He is the head of the church. I hope that you will have seen here this morning your great advantage over the world. I hope that you have seen that you, having God's Holy Spirit belonging to Him, have the ability to watch and listen to the politicians on TV, listen to your teachers in school, listen to your coworkers at work, listen to preachers and teachers, and be able to discern, are they sharing the truth? You must rely on God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit to help you. Perhaps in your life, you're not using God's Holy Spirit to be discerning how you live your life. Living in sin, practicing it, not holding yourself accountable to God, for He will indeed hold you accountable, and you're living however you want. God's Holy Spirit is in you. Don't quench the Holy Spirit's guilt. Don't allow the world to have victory over you. Don't let those deceiving spirits win in your life. Instead, knowing that greater is He that's in you than he who is in the world, you are victorious in Christ.